Amen. You can have a seat. Hey, I want everybody to do this, okay? I got two announcements, and this will be our... Get them up. Come on. Hey, in the back, I see ya. Get them up. All right, very good. Okay, here's the first announcement that starts with a W. This is the last Wednesday in January. Isn't that good news? Woo! We are moving through the winter. I can't wait. I feel spring coming soon. I will wear no socks soon. That's when spring begins. Okay, that's the first announcement with a W. Here's the second one with a W. Women's night out this Friday. Hey, 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 you don't want to miss that. There's going to be some great speakers there. And hey, so you women, you need to sign up by noon tomorrow. And let me just say to the senior women, if there's an S I can make or a J, forget it. Seniors and juniors, hey, pick it up a little. The freshmen and sophomores are signing up, but we got to have some senior and junior women there as well too. Sound good? Those are the two W's for today. Hey, but throughout the semester, really throughout the year, we had the privilege to ask different faculty and staff to come and share a little about their story in chapel periodically. And today, I can't wait. We have from the education department, Susan Cherub. How many of you? Woo! Holy cow! What is up with that? You're famous. Wow. Did you hear that?
I did.
Wow.
Now how's I that better make... not fall off the stool.
Don't fall off the stool. Man. Well, that shows how many people know you. A lot of people, because a lot of people have gone through the education department.
They have. Mm-hmm.
In fact, a lot of people have gone through the education department while you've been here.
Uh-huh.
35 years. Wow. That's pretty cool. 35 years. That's awesome. In fact, during those 35 years, you've had a lot of Boersmas go through the education department, have you?
I certainly have.
My lovely wife, Melody. Pretty good, isn't she?
Very good.
Very
good.
Very good. Melody, who's now a third grade teacher in Hamilton. Mm-hmm. My son, Aaron Boersma,
uh-huh.
who's now a special ed teacher in Otsego. Mm-hmm. You just had Emily Joy Boersma.
I have.
She's going to be a great teacher.
Going to the res with me?
Yep, yep. Mm-hmm. She's going to the res. You had Rachel Boersma, my
yes.
niece. Okay,
mm-hmm.
let's. You've had a lot of Boersmas.
I have.
You? And you're still here.
I'm still here.
That's good. Hey, I didn't. I was an education major.
I know.
But I didn't have
you. You didn't.
Well, what are you saying? Do you remember me when I was a student?
Paul.
Well, how well, Susan? What are you going to say?
Is your mom here?
Well, I don't know.
Can I speak openly? I don't see Connie.
Is Connie here?
Okay.
Okay, go ahead.
Be honest. I'll make it short.
Make it real short.
I know that you worked very hard and studied very hard, and I know that you played very hard, and I'll leave it at that.
Well, that's good. That's between us. Hey, this isn't about me, though. This chapel, this is about you.
Okay.
All right, so I'm going to transition off. Whew. All right, okay.
Later.
All right, part two. Hey, I'm so glad you're here, and we want to hear a little more about you, your story, and kind of your faith story.
Okay.
And so that has to start way back when you were...
Way back.
We're not going to name the year.
Okay.
When you were a child mm-hmm. and you were raised in Marcellus, Michigan.
Uh-huh.
Tell us a little about your childhood and your family.
Well, Marcellus, Michigan has a population of 1,200 people, and everybody knows what everybody is doing. And my parents were on what I called the five-year plan. They were married 5 years, had my sister Natalie 5 years and had me, and 5 years later had my brother Johnny. I was the middle child, not the perfect one, but the peacemaker. And my father was a rural mail carrier and my mother was a teacher. They weren't regular churchgoers, but they sent us to the Evangelical United Brethren Church, We went to Sunday school. I later joined the church, and it was a good spot for me. And I grew to trust in the Lord and have Him be my Savior. But I have to say, there was no defining moment when on April 21, the Lord came to me and I accepted Him. It was a quiet realization that He was in my life and He guided everything I did. And He provided the path for me. And you know, sometimes when I was older, I used to think, what's wrong with me? I haven't had that defining moment. And sometimes I was even embarrassed in groups as everyone was telling their story. And I just had this quiet realization of the Lord, He was just always with me. And later on, I knew that that was okay. We all have our spiritual journey and our story to tell. And that's how mine was and has been. Trust in the Lord, quiet realization.
I'm going to build on that. So you experienced that early on, as you said, I can't think on April 22, you know, I met the Lord. It's always been the Lord's been in your life, and you've realized that. So how did that play out as you got older? And now when I say older, meaning you go off to college, Hope College is where you got your degree, and you went into education. How did this quiet realization of God working in your life and then in a calling in your life of education? Share a little about that.
I don't think I never felt I was called to teach. I just knew from within that that is what I would be doing with my life. My father brought home a blackboard when I was about four, and he put it in the basement, and we got chalk, and I scribbled all over it and ate the chalk, and it was just the feel. There was something good about that chalk, and I just felt that I was a teacher.
I'm glad it was when it was chalk and not markers. Because if you would have ate markers, that could have been a problem.
Absolutely. Okay. So. No. My sister said, I don't know what I want to do, but I know I don't want to teach. So I went on and actually got a teaching job, and I wish I could say it was this easy for you, but it was almost like if you had a pulse, you had a teaching job back then. That's how it was. So I taught elementary ed. I taught students with disabilities. I spent 15 summers in migrant education. I taught adult basic ed in the evening. And then I came to Hope, and I'm teaching college students. So all through that time, it was like God was leading me from here to here to here, and I just had to trust. And not to say that I'm living in Camelot, because there are challenges, but if you believe in the Lord and you put your faith and trust in Him, He'll hold you up for those bad times and rejoice with you in the good times. So I'm a teacher my whole life.
Okay, so that worked out in teaching this trust in the Lord, but you know what? I'll tell you issue with these guys that are going on, relationships. And it's really hard to trust. Whoa, you heard that. It's really hard to trust in the Lord in regards to relationships. You know, I think there's a lot of pressure. But hey, that really played out in your life because you didn't get married right away. In fact, you had some years of singleness. So how does this trusting in the Lord... Oh, what's this mean? So how does this trusting... How does this...
It wasn't bad.
Okay. How is this trusting in the Lord during the years of singleness... And then getting married to your husband, Glenn. Go ahead, share it all at once. Go.
Well, maybe some of you are feeling this way, too. You get a little pressure, especially by the time you're a senior in college, like, where's your significant other and what's going to happen to you and all this kind of stuff. And I got that, and I got it for 5 years after I left college and 10 years, and you know, it really started to bug me. It really did. I had to find my own identity. Not to say that I didn't want a significant other person. I used to make up things, and when I was asked this question, say, oh, I guess I'm one of the lucky ones, when they'd say, oh, why aren't you married? Or I'd say, oh, I haven't found the person with whom I want to spend the rest of my life. Hmm. The very worst one was when my mother said to me, I was probably in my 30s, she said, well, if you ever get married, why don't you have all your bridesmaids wear the dresses from the weddings you've been in? You've got enough of them and save a lot of money.
Wow.
I mean,
wow.
Yeah. So maybe you're not getting this pressure, but after a while, it was this quiet realization, this is my life. The Lord is working in my life and showing me in the way, and it's okay. This is my story. Be the best teacher that you can, Susan, and it's okay. And for half my life, it was okay.
But, then Glenn comes.
Glenn comes into my life, and I just didn't rush and say, oh, finally, I've got somebody. I said, I wonder, this would be an adjustment. So it took us 4 years. We first were friends, and I really learned to respect and to love him. And to make a long story short, we just eloped on the shores of Lake Michigan in case one of us would change our mind. We didn't want to go through that planning, you know, do it quick. So
yeah,
that worked for us.
Yep.
But not that it wasn't without challenges, because he's Russian Orthodox. I knew nothing about Russian Orthodox. And by that time, I was Reformed, and I thought, oh, my gosh, what is this? So it was his dear mother that said, Susan, we're worshiping the same God. It's okay. But I said, you know, Glenn, there isn't a real close Russian Orthodox church. Wouldn't you like to come to the Reformed church with me? And he said, okay. Tim Brown was there, and if you know Tim Brown, ooh, Glenn loved him, and so he continued to go to church with me. And then I was thinking in a couple years, wow, what's our spiritual journey together? We're not going to Bible studies. We're not doing these things. And it was a man by the name of Max Borsma, Paul's father, who was working out in the Dow with Glenn and was talking to him and was really bugging him about our churches reading the Bible together for a year. Wouldn't you like to do that? Not really, he says. Not really. But Max, a man of God, was so persistent. And so, to make a long story short, we read the Bible together, and we read it out loud together. And I remember saying on a spring break trip as we're driving to Florida, I think I'll drive today, Glenn. You can read in the car. And it was the Begat chapters. So he got stuck reading all the Begat chapters in the Bible. But anyway, that really strengthened. It strengthened our relationship. Now, he still belongs to the Russian Orthodox Church, and I belong to the Reformed Church, and it's okay.
Hmm.
It's okay.
But you go to church together, and that was important.
That was the important thing.
10:51, here's the closing.
Oh, and I have a class at 11.
Okay, so. Wow, this has been fun. Last word. What do you want to say to these students? What do you want to say? Closing word.
Accept yourself for who you are. Love yourself. Trust in the Lord. You'll have a story to tell, and it will be your own story, and that's the way it should be. Amen.
Amen. Go in peace.